Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust, and I am a life transformation expert. My goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life, and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. Ever since I was in college, I have fallen so in love with coffee, especially first thing in the morning, because I am not a morning person. But I've tried to do black coffee before and it just wasn't working for me. It was really bitter and I've got a sweet tooth. So I always find myself adding too much into my coffee, whether that be cream or sugar or flavored syrups. When I really looked at my health and I really was looking at what I put into my body every single day, I realized that my coffee was pretty much like having a candy bar every single day. It really wasn't that great for me nutritionally. So I am so grateful and excited to have found this coffee company. They're called Coffee Over Cardio. Coffee Over Cardio is a brand and it's specifically targeted at boss babes, so female entrepreneurs, but really anyone can enjoy these flavors because they are so dang good, you guys. And they're so good for you. They are gluten-free, sugar-free, calorie-free. So then how are they flavored? The flavor is actually sprinkled onto the beans and baked before the coffee is ground up. So you get the flavor really deep into the coffee bean. My favorite flavors in general are the birthday cake and the cinnamon bun. I honestly don't really have to add that much to the cup anymore. I maybe put in a little bit of almond milk just for texture, but otherwise, I don't need the same amount of sugar and crap and everything that I was adding to this cup of coffee. The coffee itself is delicious. So if you're interested in trying it, or if it sounds like it's up your alley, head on over to coffeeovercardio.com. I'm going to hook you up with 10% off if you just use the coupon at checkout, 10DavinaF, you will get 10% off your purchase. So please enjoy this delicious coffee. Let's get into the show. Hey guys, welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. This week I have someone very special who I actually haven't even spoken to in a really long time. So it's so great to be reintroduced to her. And she today, Crystal Simile, is here to talk about her experience living with lupus. Crystal, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yay. So let's just go all the way back. And, you know, I've got to admit that I'm still pretty ignorant when it comes to exactly what lupus is and how it affects you. So I would love to hear more about your life and your journey as far as, you know, getting sick and then getting diagnosed and just all the way, take it all the way back.
Sure.
Awesome.
So it seems like we're going back ages and ages, but I was around 10 or 11 when the official diagnosis came to me. As far as I can remember, I was sick. So we, growing up in Pennsylvania, it was, you know, the summers would be very hot, the winters were very dry, and I was constantly experiencing nosebleeds. I would have what my mom swore was a heat rash. And then finally in fifth grade, I just got violently ill in school, went to 3 different hospitals until they could figure out that I had an autoimmune disease and I was diagnosed with the flu. I was diagnosed with dehydration. And this was, you know, over a span of 3 different hospitals. And then once it was Geisinger in Danville, Pennsylvania, that was like, hey, you know, there's this disease called lupus and you are showing a lot of the signs for it. And so we went and we got a second opinion at the Philadelphia Children's Hospital, I believe it was, where they confirmed I am living with lupus. And there was only one person in my family who had experienced it, but in a much different way. And that was my grandmother on my biological father's side. So it was a very, I would say, challenging diagnosis, especially for me. I was very young. My parents didn't know much about what lupus is. There was a lot and a lot of research. There was a lot of stress involved. I remember that specifically, just my family being like, how do we move forward with a child who lives, you know, how do we have to alter her life? It was very interesting. And it wasn't until I want to say maybe the last few years that I've really been able to understand what my disease is. And to give you some context, it's been almost 20 years. So it's taken a very long time, but the initial diagnosis was very scary, especially for someone who's so young. And it took a pretty large toll, I would say, on my childhood.
Right. Yeah. Because that's like a lot of anxiety to pile onto you when you don't feel well and you don't understand why you don't feel well. And it's also out of your control. So I really feel for you in that. And did you have at the time, did they give you any sort of resources or networks for you to kind of join to connect with other people who had lupus, or were you just kind of figuring it out as you went along?
I would say a little bit of both. So while I was kind of going through that diagnosis process, I was kind of living in the hospital for some time. So it was more kind of child networking. So I was in the pediatric center, and there were obviously a lot of children who were also very ill, who were staying there with their families. And so I had met people that way. And obviously, it's a little different, right? Going from staying in a hospital to being around, I don't want to call them sick people, but you're constantly around people in a similar, feeling a similar way, right? So I met a few others with lupus. I met a lot of kids going through chemo, just a lot of people who were feeling that level of, I would say maybe anxiety and that level of sadness. And I met a lot of scared kids who just, you know, they were like, this is what I'm going through. And I'm just kind of going with it right now. But when I was released from the hospital, I kind of jumped back into school, and it was such a strange transition. It was, you know, I'd missed probably half, maybe half of my fifth grade year. And I came back, ended fifth grade, and jumped into middle school. And I'm not sure if your school was like this, Davina, but ours was all of the elementary schools in the area kind of combined into one middle school.
Yep, that's the Pennsylvania way, yeah.
Yeah. So I had met a million new people, and I was on some pretty heavy steroids at the time just to try and get my body to reduce the inflammation. So I went from being a very active, loved sports. I played softball, basketball. I was a cheerleader, which is honestly so strange to say at my age. But I was a very active young person, and I kind of blew up from the steroids. I gained a lot of weight, and it was terrifying. I remember going in on picture day, sixth grade, and I had these kids behind me, and you know, picture day happens in the beginning of school, so I guess I should have like anticipated this happening, but there were kids who were like making fun of my weight as I was going to get my pictures done, and it was just really, really difficult. It was all these kids that I had no idea who they were. I didn't grow up with them. I didn't have a relationship with all of these new students. So My first year in middle school was difficult, but that's when I met the counselors. I had very long relationships with my school counselors, and those were probably the best resources I had at the time. Obviously, doctors and, you know, all of my friends at the hospital gave my parents paperwork and, you know, different things to read on about the disease. But for me, I think it was more about talking to people who hopefully didn't judge me. And it was hard to find those people jumping into a new school, feeling self-conscious about one, having a disease, and two, gaining a bunch of weight from the disease and not being able to be active and doing what I really enjoyed doing as a child.
Yeah. Well, first of all, those kids, like the minute that you said you were bullied, that is my Achilles heel, because obviously my story is I was bullied for 8 or 9 years. So I immediately wanted to go to that line and punch those kids in the face, like as soon as you said that. But second of all, like, wow.
And you said like it took you a very long time to kind of process your diagnosis and figure out how to live along with your lupus and how to just kind of navigate the ebbs and flows. And you said that it's been over the past couple of years, you've figured out how to do that. So could you just kind of give us a little bit of insight as to how now you are successfully managing your disease and how your lifestyle kind of looks like to go along with your healing journey?
Absolutely. So I moved out to California January of, I always mix this up, but I believe it was January of 2015. So I was 24 years old at the time, and I had received a pretty scary diagnosis from one of my doctors that I grew up going to. She was a rheumatologist. She's who I was seeing for my lupus. And I started feeling pretty ill when I was first diagnosed. There are a few different types of lupus that exists right now. So my initial type and what I still have today, it's called SLE lupus. It's systematic, a word I can't pronounce, lupus. But what the short term is SLE. And it was affecting my blood very heavily when I was first diagnosed, to the point where some of these blood cells, there were white and red cells, and kind of the way that lupus impacts the body is you have these good cells and you have bad cells, and there's bacteria that gets in your blood, or the bad cells are fighting off the bacteria, but they're fighting off the good cells as well. So you really have a compromised immune system and you're susceptible to illness very easily. And so I was getting bloody noses all the time as a kid because I didn't really have, I think they're called hemoglobin, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to like clot to stop the bleeding. So it was just constant. We have since resolved that. And then in 2014, the diagnosis came that the lupus had moved on from my blood. I thought I was in remission, and it had moved on from my blood to my joints, which is how my grandmother was diagnosed with lupus. She was in her 20s when she was first diagnosed, which is crazy because the way that like what it had turned into for me at 24. So it was really, really wild. But so I was in New York for work, and I had a MacBook Air. So you imagine those are pretty light. And I went to pick up my computer. We were getting ready to leave the conference and go home. And you've taken the trips on like the Greyhound bus from New York to the Poconos.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was a pretty short trip considering. And I was so tired. My body was really sore. I was really out of it, and I couldn't lift my computer with my hands. And as I said, it was a MacBook Air, so they're pretty light. And that's when I knew, I was like, something doesn't feel right. And so I went back to see my doctor, and she put me on this medicine, and she said, I'll never forget the way she said, in order to delay your death, you have to take this medicine. And it was honestly,
oh my God, I like literally stopped breathing for a second there. Wow.
It was crazy to hear someone say, you need to take this medicine to live longer. And it's kind of like, you know, take your vitamins, be healthy, do this, do that. And for me, I was stopped in my tracks, just as you were. And I was like, what am I doing? And that was the driving factor to get me to California, because I really wanted to experience as much life as I could before I got too sick to do so. I was doing a lot of research at the time, trying to find forums and people who live with this and how they're living with it. And so many people live with lupus on disability. They can't go to work. They can't do a lot of these things. And it's so scary to think about. And even for me now, I'm going to be 29 this year, and I've luckily found, I would say, I don't know if I would say ritual, but I have kind of a routine now where when I'm feeling a little off, or if I started to feel a little sick or, you know, out of it, I can mentally be aware that my body is telling me you need to slow down. So I lived in California. I moved to Los Angeles in January of 2015. I was there for about a year and a half, and then I moved to San Francisco, June of 2016. And this is where I have seen myself thriving and being just the happiest version of myself that I've ever known. And it's because I have found this kind of holistic lifestyle out here. I meditate all the time, it feels like. I'm very self-aware of my body. I have a hard time losing weight. And I've, instead of being that sixth grader in middle school and being so self-conscious about it and so nervous about how people are looking at me, I have, I don't know if I would say confidence, but I have this really positive self-awareness of you are suffering from something that cannot be cured, that takes a toll on your body. I have a personal trainer at the gym who I see twice a week who focuses on people who have sort of disabilities, I guess. And he knows about some of the too much stress on your body. So lifting too much or putting too much pressure on your knees or different things like this can really impact how my body reacts. And I've just had the most positive experience with him. And I'm at this point in my life now where, yes, I have lupus and it really used to control me, but it is not who I am anymore. I feel like it's almost like it doesn't exist, but there are times, I don't want to say that because there are times when I'm like, I cannot leave my bed. But it just really has come to a point where it doesn't control me anymore. It's not this like monster that follows me around that's like, hey, you're going to have that drink right now. I'm going to destroy you for the next 3 days. It's not like that anymore. So I have changed my lifestyle a little bit, I would say. But I think being out in California and doing the things that I enjoy doing and finding this new version of myself from growing from who I was maybe 10, 15 years ago, it has really, really helped me to understand that, yes, lupus is scary. It's difficult. It's really unpredictable is probably the best word I would use to describe it. But it is something that can be overcome.
I love that. I like have chills. I'm just so happy for you. And you're also selling me really hard on California because I was just going to say, you know, California, I know so many people that live there and it is a very holistic place and it's very, you know, they focus on meditation and just pure nutrition and you're in the sun all the time. So I'm like, dang it, I should just move to California. I'm just so glad that you found your happy place and that you found a good balance with your disease. Because like you said, it's not something that is in your control, but you also don't let it control you. And I really believe that health is wealth. And I think that you taking advantage of, despite your circumstances, how healthy you are and how capable you are to live alone and across the country, it's just so inspiring. And I'm so glad that we're having this conversation right now. And what would you say is the best lesson you've learned when you were going through your transformative time between feeling like you are on the brink of death versus now where you're just, you have that balance that you were always looking for? Like, what was the best lesson you've learned through all of this?
That is a great question. I feel like there have been several lessons, but I think the most important one is, and I've heard this from so many people. I mean, I probably cannot count on my hands how many people have said this to me. And it has really resonated because I have a tendency to just be extremely hard on myself. But everyone always says, be gentle with yourself. And it's one of those things that's so, like you hear it and you're like, okay, yeah, that's easy to do, but it's not easy to do. It is one of those things that for me, having an off day is having a migraine, not getting any sleep the night before and having to function as an adult, as with other people in your office who don't necessarily have a lot of these issues, but you go in and you put your best foot forward and things just tend to go wrong, right? And I feel like this is a perfect time to talk about it because my entire week was a struggle and I was beating myself up by 5 o'clock every day. And I'd have to remind myself getting on the train going home, hey, you did it. You could have stayed in bed and you could have been in pain and complained all day and done this and done that. And instead you pushed yourself, you got through the day and you can go home and you can get in bed and you can relax and it's fine and things are going to get better. And it's one of those things, like I said, I feel like it doesn't carry a lot of weight, but for me, just hearing it and being able to remind myself that things will always get better, it's very important for me.
Yeah, that's so amazing. And do you have like a personal life motto that you follow? Is it be gentle with yourself?
Oh man, personal life motto. I would say it's probably between be gentle with yourself and always be aware. I recently read this book called The Fear Book, and it's interesting because it talks about how being negative with ourselves is just our inner child being afraid of a possible outcome. And I feel like I've recently come to know my inner child or inner ego, people call it different things. And I talk to her a lot.
Yeah.
And when she does pop up and she has a lot of this anger, she has a lot of fear, it's a very, I guess it would be gentle with yourself, because I have a very gentle conversation and I acknowledge why I'm feeling a certain way or why she's feeling a certain way.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I love that. And I'm the same way where, you know, I will sit down. I've been in therapy on and off for my own issues, and I'll sit down and I'll tell them my story and they're just like, wow, you are so self-aware. And it's like, yeah, because I talk to my inner 8-year-old like 20 a week.
She's the one. It's like she's the one who felt all of the pain and all of the negativity, and she's always there as a constant reminder. Mm-hmm. And your journey has been incredible. I love watching you thrive.
Thank you.
Yeah, just hearing you say that, I'm like, I get it. Like, my person is so scared of any possibility, any situation, that I have to be like, hey, I get it. But yeah, we have to do it. We have to put ourselves out there. We have to get out of this comfort zone. And life has been so much better for me. And I'm sure you can say the same just talking to your 8-year-old.
Absolutely. So if there is anybody out there who is currently in a difficult place, whether it be with lupus or any other diagnosis that they're going through, do you have any sort of tips or piece of advice for them to take with them today?
Oh, absolutely. One, and this sounds very cliche, but it was something that I needed to know when I was a kid. You are not alone. It's one of the most important things to remember. In any situation, depression, anxiety, chronic illness, weight loss, whatever you're going through, there is someone out there who can relate to your challenges and to this process that you're going through. And we are happy to talk to you. So many people are out there willing to talk to you.
Yeah, I love that. And if anyone is like, well, I love Crystal and I would like to talk to her, is there anywhere that they can find you on social media that they could connect with you?
Absolutely. So Facebook, you can always like chat with me. I was featured in J14 magazine, so random, about my lupus though. And there were a few girls who found me on Facebook and messaged me saying that they were having issues with weight. This was back when I was like a freshman or sophomore in college. And it was really, really beautiful. So I am happy to connect with you. I'm happy to talk to you. I've met friends of friends on Facebook who have lupus, who didn't really know a lot about it, and I've connected with Facebook or Instagram. You can search me by name.
Crystal Simile. Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was such a beautiful episode, and I'm just so happy for you and rooting for you, and I hope that you continue to just learn more about yourself and learn more about your disease, and like you mentioned earlier, not letting it define your life, just be a part of it. And thank you so, so much for sharing your story with us today.
Wow, Davina, thank you so much. This was a wonderful experience, and really, one, the first podcast experience I'm ever having, but such a great experience to talk about it openly and really be in such a positive headspace when talking about it. It's very new for me, so I'm really happy to be able to share it with you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.